definitely days, Doug, when I am heads down doing my work, whether it's, you know, website development or implementing blogs for people or whatever, where I don't go into LinkedIn, but that's kind of not the norm. Most times I start my day out checking my email and making sure what I need to get done for the day and all that kind of stuff. And inevitably there's a referral from somebody, or there's somebody I'm going to be going to meet for the first time that day or the next day. There's usually a reason. So I've kind of had to build it into my DNA where in the morning, before I really get going on my day, I check my email and I do my research on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I think that using the mobile app is a little challenging for some people. You can get a lot of the value out of the mobile app, but when I'm doing training, I encourage people to do it on a PC when they're in the comfort of their home instead of trying to do it when they're in their car.
Welcome back to the Apex Business Advisors Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Cavanaugh, not joined by Doug Hubler. I'm just here to introduce our conversation with Jason Terry. If you remember, Jason talked last week on part one about what LinkedIn is and why it's important. Today, Jason's back to talk about the personalized part of LinkedIn. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did. I'll be back at the end to close this out. Without further ado, enjoy part two of our conversation with Jason Terry. You do LinkedIn training for companies. We've gotten the light version of that a few weeks ago. One of the things was that you gave profile tips. Could you share some do's and don'ts for, say, a profile picture and the bios and some things like that? For example, is it okay for Doug to post his shirtless Speedo beach picture?
Unless he sells Speedos for a living, I'm going to say no.
Or the protein powder.
I've seen a lot of Facebook fired pictures out there. So the things that I see out there, I see cartoon caricatures. I see people with glamour shots where they're looking over their shoulder at you funny. I've seen pictures of people with their boat, their kids, their dog, everything. And the reality is your photo on LinkedIn should be your head and shoulders. And it should be what you look like currently. So no false advertising. I don't want to see a picture of you that's 20 years old, because then I can't make you out when we're at a coffee shop meeting for the first time. I need to be able to see what you look like so that when I'm meeting you at coffee, I know what you look like. So that's what a good photo is. And there's basically four main things on a LinkedIn profile that are so important. You want to do the cover image, which is the little graphic across the top that people don't do. And it looks like you haven't finished your profile if you haven't put a cover image up there. That sets off your profile picture nicely. There's lots of ways to do that. I've done videos on that on my YouTube channel as well, on how to do cover images. The professional headline is incredibly important. That is probably the thing I hit the hardest when I'm doing LinkedIn training. And that professional headline is the part on LinkedIn where it says what your current position is. It pulls that up from your experience farther down on your profile. But I think people need to use that space to, sure, say, you know, principal of Blue Gurus, but also go into two or three business things and two or three personal things. So if you check out my profile on LinkedIn, you're going to see, you know, on the personal side that I'm a scuba diver, guitar player, and a Lego collector and a bourbon hunter. And those are conversation starters. Those are conversation starters. So people, it's just basic how it works, right? People are going to meet for coffee for the first time. They check out each other's profiles. If you give them that information, like two or three business things that you do and the two or three personal things that you care about, you now have given them conversation starters, so there's not an awkward start to you meeting for coffee. You can actually just jump right in. Hey, I saw you collect Lego. Tell me that story, right? So the photo, the cover image, the professional headline, writing a good about section that uses I language, and you can get farther into this, but there's only four or five really important things that you need to make sure you've done on your LinkedIn profile.
It is hard, you know, when you go to meet somebody for the first time. I kind of want to see what their activity is, learn more about their business, maybe who's on their staff. But a picture is really helpful. You say an updated picture, and if they're with their, you know, family of six on a mountainside, I have no idea what they look like. I think one of the challenges that I have, and I think a lot of people have, is the consistency on LinkedIn, being there 5 or 10 minutes a day. It's easy to forget about doing that. And then it's 2 weeks later and you realize that you've not been on there. But I think the blogs have helped us with the ongoing activity, putting that out there every week, the podcasts that get posted every week that you do for us. and doing that multiple times a week gives us at least some of that activity that all the brokers here can take advantage of and then make comments.
There are definitely days, Doug, when I am heads down doing my work, whether it's, you know, website development or implementing blogs for people or whatever, where I don't go into LinkedIn, but that's kind of not the norm. Most times I start my day out checking my email and making sure what I need to get done for the day and all that kind of stuff. And inevitably there's a referral from somebody, or there's somebody I'm going to be going to meet for the first time that day or the next day. There's usually a reason. So I've kind of had to build it into my DNA where in the morning, before I really get going on my day, I check my email and I do my research on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I think that using the mobile app is a little challenging for some people. You can get a lot of the value out of the mobile app, but when I'm doing training, I encourage people to do it on a PC when they're in the comfort of their home instead of trying to do it when they're in their car. And so what I try to do every morning is do the LinkedIn thing. And, you know, you and I both in our businesses have that scheduled strategy where we get that story up there and then it goes out 2-3 times a week. So we've got that low hum of social media storytelling going. That just happens. I think I like that you're talking about that from a user of LinkedIn perspective, the owner and using LinkedIn. And the only way to fix that is to figure out, because I know, Doug, there are so many people you talk to in a day that you're going to meet, whether it's in your office in one of the conference rooms or out at coffee. And so there's probably a lot of opportunities for you to just go do research on that person, or you've gotten an invitation to connect from somebody, or there's an Entrepreneur Alliance event on Wednesday that we're going to go to, and there's a new member that you don't know about. You know, there's probably lots of things that you could just, oh yeah, I should go check them out on LinkedIn. So that's just having to remind yourself of, oh yeah, let's do some research.
Do you have an example of a business where you feel like with this activity, you've improved their business, or they've improved their business through these methods, or, you know, increased their value by going through this LinkedIn process?
Gosh, this sounds silly, but it's hard to argue this stuff just works because people want to hear from the people they like. And all of this is based on a relationship. So I can honestly make the case that every single one of my blogging clients right now can say this story, that it's making a difference in their business. Like, it just flat out is. So one of the stories that I would say, without mentioning the name of the company, is my most recent blogging client, a managed services client here in town, and they were doing a $2,500 a month spend on traditional social media pushes and things like that. They were not telling their own stories. They were not putting their team and their clients' faces out there and all that kind of stuff. And they switched to me about 6 months ago, and they more than quadrupled their activity and interaction and feedback. And the thing I love, and I always tell people this, when your friends and clients and prospects start commenting on your stuff, that's when you know marketing is working. When they start saying, oh, I loved your article about blah, or oh, I loved the podcast about LinkedIn, or whatever. When they say that, and usually what's really interesting is that they very rarely do that online. They very rarely will actually do that on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever, or as a blog comment on your website. They're going to do it in person at the next event that they see. Or they might send you an email, or they might actually text message you that. That's what happens to me. I would say at least 2/3 of my feedback happens outside of these tools through relationship, again, because it's about the relationship. So I've got other companies that had massive spends on traditional marketing. And when they looked at all the metrics and tried to figure out where most of their eyeballs and opportunities were coming from, it ended up being the traffic to their website from their blogging efforts. So they actually dialed a lot of things back that they were doing, and they just focus primarily on storytelling. I think it's interesting, if you as a company are going to decide and agree that we're going to do some kind of storytelling, this is the best way to get the story told on your website and out to as many people as possible in the most cost-effective way possible. That's what's interesting. I mean, you line it up against a million other things, having a lunch and learn, like sponsoring a golf tournament, having a magazine article ad or whatever. There's a million ways you can spend $1,500, $2,500 a month. And I would say that if you're going to invest in the relationships you have with storytelling, that's the best way to put that money. And you know it's working when they start talking about you. The other quick aside I wanted to make it's always surprising. And I actually talked about this before we got started the podcast. It's always surprising to the companies I work with that the blogging becomes an amazing retention and acquisition tool for talent. So what happens is the new people that start coming in after blogging for 3 to 6 months, they will hear from them, oh, I looked at all your blog posts about the picnic and the thing and the award we won and the new client we just launched, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like a great place to work, or it seems like a, you know, a fun place to work or whatever. It becomes an acquisition tool for talent. And there's no question that happens, because I hear that across all my clients. So long story of all that is all of my clients have over time said, yes, it's so crazy that this basic idea of storytelling to relationships we care about is the most valuable thing we could be doing from a marketing perspective.
If someone were to bring you in for training, tell us a little bit about what they could expect that training would look like.
Well, I like to focus. I mean, there's a basic core training that happens, and I've gotten really good about making them 1 hour lunch and learn. So it used to be a 2 to 3 hour process, and nobody has time for that. So now I do 2 1-hour lunch and learns. And a lot of times people are bringing in from multiple regions. So they're typically Zoom delivered, not in person like I used to all the time. So I will do 2 lunch and learns on profile best practices, because there's always some people that are going to miss the first scheduled one. So we do 2 scheduled 1-hour lunch and learns for profile best practices. And then we do 2 scheduled lunch and learns on advanced LinkedIn and prospecting using LinkedIn. And that's that model I've been doing for 2.5 years now. I've been doing LinkedIn training since 2009, but that model of 4 lunch and learns that gets pretty much everybody has worked really well, and the feedback is great. I think people on the second lunch and learn with prospecting, that kind of needs to be filled with people that are sales related or sales focused or client focused. So if it's an organization that's just really wanting to dig into LinkedIn, I think that the right answer would be to just do the profile best practices and how to use LinkedIn on a regular basis. That would be a great place to start. It doesn't matter to me, right? I'm happy to do whatever. And I love talking about the business, and like the questions I ask before we do training are, how do you get customers now? Right. And we talk through some of that. And then I can kind of gear what I'm, because it's different between banking and a manufacturing company, right? So I like to kind of gear the training towards how they talk and how they work. So that's worth a conversation up front. So that's how I deliver it.
Do you do any LinkedIn paid advertisement or for your clients or anything like that?
I have not. So a lot of people will talk about the value of SEO pay-per-click. And some of this is, I've worked with lots of companies that have tried it and haven't had great success. That doesn't mean that it can't be greatly successful for companies. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think there's nothing that trumps the organic result of Doug telling Jason what he's doing in his business today versus a thumbnail ad that says Apex is an awesome company that goes to a landing page. There's no question that you telling authentic stories from person to person, I think, are way more valuable. And you're going to spend money doing paid advertising on LinkedIn or Facebook or anything like that. So I tell companies, hey, let's get your storytelling going first before you even consider doing some kind of budget monthly for pay-per-click advertising. And I bet you've got some feedback on that, because I know you've had some successes yourself with that. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that.
It did start with the basics, telling the story, getting people trained, before we moved on to the next level. And so I think that we can see that we have gotten additional traffic, but it's just kind of the all in trying to hit everything. But you do have to have the basics down first, and you have to commit to that time, even though, I mean, it's a little, like you said, a little bit of time. You just have to make it happen.
I just think it's interesting. I think this whole relationship-based storytelling thing has been very interesting to me. You know, I recently had knee surgery, and we've all had the massive amount of feedback when it's our birthday and we get, you know, happy birthday wishes from Facebook and LinkedIn and all this stuff. And it's those tools telling those people it's Jason Terry's birthday. So you got to wonder, do they really know it's my birthday? So one of the things I like to do in all things with all this social media stuff, I like to kind of get old school on things. So what I do for the people that I care about, I put their birthday on my calendar. And I actually say, and Doug's shaking his head yes right now, I actually send an email the day before their birthday. And I specifically say, I know tomorrow's your birthday. Social media did not tell me it's your birthday. And I just want you to know you matter. And I'm glad you're another year older.
The secret behind that is he actually uses schedule send and just sends those.
Right.
Types them all.
I have the next 20 years scheduled and I used AI to generate them. So
it's the same message every year.
No, but it is. I tell you, I've been doing this. When I started Blue Gurus, I thought, you know, this will probably have 5 years of legs. I'll do this training stuff and people are going to figure this out and I'm going to have to kind of reinvent myself, which is fine. And I'm, you know, 13 years later, I still walk into businesses that have poor profiles. Some of the people have poor profiles. Some of the people don't they have not gone through training. They just don't understand what's possible on LinkedIn. And it's always shocking to me how much we can move the needle with a little bit of training. So I love that. I love that part. I love working with people and I love seeing that look on their face when they're like, oh my gosh, that's how you do that. Or that's why I should be doing that. And watching them become, and then they'll follow up after training. Here's my new profile. What do you think? Do you like my little golfer emoji I put in my professional headline or whatever? Like, so I love seeing people move the needle with this stuff. It's a lot of fun.
You know, Jason, that happened with us when you came in and did the refresher. You know, somebody who's been here for over 20 years is like, oh, look at, how did he do that? How do I go and do this thing that has been this way for many, many years? But yep. That refreshers are really important for people who haven't done it for a while.
Well, Jason he's a dynamic presenter. You're not going to fall asleep during one of Jason's presentations. So what is it? 5 stars, highly recommend. I think it's the...
Thank you.
Jason, thanks for the time today, man. We appreciate you. All right.
It's been great. Jason. Thanks, guys.
Once again, a big thanks to Jason Terry with Blue Gurus. Jason can be found on the internet at bluegurus.com, BlueGurus.com. Again, you can go out there. You can find everything about the company, services they provide, some portfolios of work they've done, testimonials of happy customers, their blog, and of course, how to get in contact with Jason. If you're interested in learning more about Apex, the best place to go there is going to be kcapex.com. It's where we send you every week. That's where you can learn about the process of buying and selling a business, current listings, and of course the blogs and our podcasts are out there. So until next week, if you're looking at buying or selling a business, we got you, fam.